That music can only mean one thing, people. Well, it can mean several things. One of the things is a good times ahead. The other thing is talking about practice. Now, those might be synonymous some days. Hopefully today is one of those days. Talking about practice will be starting momentarily. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to that one guy we met at Bella's one time. Thank you for spending an hour of your evening with our nonsense over here. And we want to thank FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. They've held us down for several years and let us do our thing and do this nonsense, and so we appreciate them. We also appreciate our underwriters, so we want to shout them out real quick. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Bigfoot Carpet, providing professional installation of carpet, tile, vinyl, laminate, and hardwood flooring for the greater Chico area. Bigfoot Carpet carries a large in-stock selection and is located at 3436 Highway 32 in Suite 100. Bigfoot Carpets can be reached by calling 879-0000, or you can visit them online, bigfootcarpets.com. Like I said, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show starts next, so we're going to go ahead and start it right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. Listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show begins right now. Thank you again for spending an hour of your evening with us here at Talking About Practice. I'm your host, Drill Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, the bearded bandito, Derek Isumaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
And our man, your man, the man, the stat man, Statman Brad.
Yeah!
I kind of like that better than the hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, finally, you found something.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that much better. Oh, man, it's good to be back.
Okay.
God. We took a week off. I think we all needed it. We needed to rest up because this is obviously a very strenuous job, coming and talking sports for 1 hour every week.
So hard, really.
No, but we appreciate all the support. It's been interesting. Before we start the show, and Derek, I'll have you give the rundown here momentarily. Over the past week, for whatever reason, I feel really fortunate because several people have recognized my voice and asked me if I was on this here Talking About Practice sports show. And I replied yes, obviously. And just got a lot of outpouring of love. I think four different people came up to me. I remember one girl's name was Tristan, and sorry to the rest of you, I'm really terrible at names. It was just a unique name, so I remember Tristan. Shouts to her. And shouts to everyone who has followed this show, enjoyed this show, has tuned into this show. We appreciate all love. So I mentioned that we have a big show. The gang is back together, minus John. John is on the road. Safe travels to him and his lovely girlfriend, Taylor, as they were celebrating John's 29th birthday.
He's 30, man.
Is he 30?
No, he's not.
I was about to say, I'm like, no, he's not.
He's 30, though.
Oh, he's 29.
Just throw him in the bucket already.
No, he's got one last year.
I mean, it's close enough. We can round up, right?
He's got one last year before 2-day hangovers. You just ache for days for no reason. You get out of bed and you're already sore.
No more dunking for him after 30, right?
I mean,
I have yet to see it happen.
Yeah, that was the case for me.
He tried to when you were at the park last week.
How did you do?
He did not dunk.
Figures.
Yep. Well,
figures.
Big shocker there. Hey, Derek, what do we have on the rundown, brother?
We do have a big show for y'all. Urban Meyer has his free run finally come to an end. OSU in a major scandal, one that could bring the demise of one of college football's most prominent figures. The Houston Astros have a zero tolerance against domestic violence until they need a save.
God.
The only baseball game I can watch where my team isn't playing is the Yankees versus Red Sox game, and that did not disappoint last night. Suck it, Yankees. We fixed baseball. The NL West is a toss-up, except for the Giants. They're not going that far.
Oh,
the North State update with Statman Brad. Some news. LA correspondent with a Tour de France update. Say what? Pro football. Best class ever. Ray Lewis, you still kissed your kids? Stay tuned. Football, right around the corner. I could care less. There we go.
All right. I thought there was more after I could care less.
We'll save that for the actual talking points.
Okay.
Yeah, when we get there.
I'm excited for football, but we'll get to that. Let's stay with football, but in the college realm, where the coaches and the administrators make all the money and the kids don't make any.
Labor force makes
no money, but hey, it is what it is. So this Urban Meyer story is layered. For those of you unfamiliar, Urban Meyer is the head coach of Ohio State. He's been there for what, almost 7 years?
Since 2012, I want to say.
Okay, 6 years. Okay, thank you, sir. Ohio State has been in the mix every year since he's been there. He helped turn that program around. If you'll remember, Jim Tressel was the former Ohio State head football coach before he got laid off because he lied about players trading jerseys for tattoos, which obviously is a cardinal sin.
Lock him up, put him away, yes. Never see it again.
Yes, put him in jail with all the pedophiles because that's where he needs to be, clearly, because that is so offensive. Obviously, I'm joking. But guys, so the story goes, and please jump in. I read the story. I don't have it pulled up, so please jump in if I'm missing some major details or anything that you guys think needs to be added. So allegedly, well, I don't know that the wife beating is allegedly. David Smith was his name, the wide receivers coach?
Chris Smith.
Okay. Was it? Okay, will you look that up for me, Brad? Thank you.
Courtney Smith is the wife's name.
Yes, Courtney Smith, the wife of the wide receivers coach, has claimed on multiple occasions that she was physically abused.
Zach Smith.
Thank you. David Smith, Chris Smith.
It was
Zach.
A basic name.
Yeah.
Zach. It was a basic
Sounds
name.
Sounds like a Zach out there.
Yeah. So Zach Smith allegedly beat his wife on multiple occasions. We'll get into some of the details of it because some of them are just alarming. Everyone around Urban Meyer knew about this, including his wife, who's a nurse, and saw pictures of what happened to Zach Smith's wife, Courtney Smith. And Urban Smith in 2009.
Urban Meyer.
Urban. God.
It's all right. A lot of names.
Yes, sorry. Thank you. I'm telling you, I'm going to lean on you guys heavy today. I need your help. Urban Meyer is in hot water because he allegedly lied and said he had no knowledge of this in, was it 2015, I want to say?
Yeah.
Yes.
When they were in Florida.
Okay.
No, that was in Ohio. That was in Ohio.
But there was an alleged one in
There was an actual situation in 2009, stemming from his Gator time with Urban Meyer.
That's what I was
Correct. Some of the details are crazy. I just want to share this. I don't want to get so much into, do you think he knew? Do you not think he knew? I think that's kind of easy. I kind of want to go on the macro level, but the one detail that I read in the story that was jaw-dropping to me was apparently Zach Smith came home on his one-year anniversary with his wife. However, he did not show up with his wife. He showed up with Urban Meyer's secretary, and in front of his wife was calling Urban Meyer's secretary baby. Another detail that shouldn't go unmentioned is that Zach Smith's wife was pregnant with their child at the time. And allegedly, that evening ended with Zach Smith assaulting his wife. And then in 2015, when asked about it, questioned about it, Urban Meyer said he had no knowledge of the incident or any of the incidents. There is multiple occasions where Courtney Smith said that her husband, Zach Smith, had hit her. So that's the story. Where I want to go for a second, and we could go back down to the micro, but I kind of want to take a look from the macro perspective. Because in college football, I think it was Dan Le Batard that said last week when this news first came out before Urban Meyer was placed on administrative leave that he didn't believe that the Flames could reach that high. There's two coaches in college football that could literally ride around with a body in their trunk and still survive it. And that, of course, was Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. Now, I was definitely surprised to see Ohio State act so swiftly in placing Urban Meyer on administrative leave. I think in 2018, this is definitely something that you were just not going to tolerate as a society. And so things have changed. Now, I want to ask you, Derek, we were together when this news was breaking. We were in the middle of a podcast, and we handled the entire story horribly because we didn't get all the details. So we try to have fun with it and listen to the podcast, okay? Because I know having fun with domestic abuse sounds horrible. I can't really explain it now, but we had a good time with it.
Yeah.
Not the domestic abuse part of this. Please understand, we were not making fun of that situation. Just all the nonsense that goes on around college football is kind of where we are going. So were either one of you surprised to see Urban Meyer get placed on administrative leave so quickly after this news broke?
I mean, I think we've seen from countless occasions right now, time and time again, whenever some scandal does hit, it's going to get to that point eventually. And I think the longer you take, the longer you draw it out, the longer it stays in the news cycle. And that's something that Ohio State does not want in their life right now. Mm-hmm. They want to, as bad as it say, they want to get passes as quick as possible with any type of PR type of situation, which is not to, which in any some way, you know, kind of diminishes the victims in these crimes because they just want to sweep them under the rug and do what they can. And Urban Meyer, if they have to, they'll probably have to get rid of him, you know, just because that's where we are at this point in time. I mean, you saw what happened with Penn State with the Jerry Sandusky and how bad Penn State came out of that situation. And I think Ohio State is doing their best right now to avoid any type of situation that territory might come with. Do I think they're about to get some type of bowl suspensions? You never know. I'm not going to be one to speak it, but that would be a big situation, especially for this big of a program for this type of situation. If some type of bigger stipulation were to be placed on the university.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually shocked to see them go so quickly to, like, it went out in the news, everyone heard about it, and then
the new guy comes back.
Oh, look who shows up. John is back in the building.
He made it.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, like I was saying, it was shocking. It went out in the news. It was either that day or the next day he was put on administrative leave.
Yeah.
So it was shocking to see. And they also named an interim head coach. It wasn't just like, oh, they just put him on administrative leave and they didn't, like, replace him quickly enough. It was within a reasonable amount of time they put the offensive coordinator, Ryan Day, as the interim head coach. So I think they're doing all the right steps as a organization. If they had no clue either, if Ohio State had no clue, they're doing everything right so far.
And not to mention Urban Meyer, a coach that has had quite a grisly past when it comes to teams.
Yep.
His Florida team, not the best squad.
There was a serial killer on that team.
Yeah, Aaron Hernandez was on that squad.
Well, he wasn't a serial killer then, so.
I think he was in it. Something led to that path, though, and he was a part of his life at some point. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying there's a team.
Tim Tebow couldn't help him. Let's go with
there
that.
There was a lot of, as weird as it sounds, it's so funny to think that Florida, of all the instances that it had Tim Tebow on that squad.
Yep.
That is just honestly, I think, a rather very comical to me in that aspect. But
that's the same team that also had Percy Harvin and Aaron Hernandez on it.
Yeah, and Cam Newton, I believe, was on
that.
No,
he went to Auburn, dog.
No, you're
Cam
absolutely
Newton.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right, you're
check
right.
Check yourself, okay. Dude.
Right, yeah,
Cam Newton and he allegedly stole a laptop or something or other and got kicked out of Florida.
That's correct.
So, yeah, went to a JC and then back to Auburn.
There are a lot of... There are a lot of instances with Urban Meyer's team, especially at Florida, where this all began. Right. This guy, he was an interim coach for him back in 2009, where Giroux described that one situation where he walked in with his Urban Meyer's secretary, walking into his home where his wife, with their pregnant wife, was on their 1-year anniversary. So that happened back then. So it's followed him for a while, and the fact that he's kept this guy on for as long as he has. You just fired him the past July. So it's just it seems as something that he's... I think we're getting to a point where we're finally accepting the fact that winning should not come at all costs.
Yeah, but how do we know that this guy doesn't have some crazy dirt on Urban and that's why he's keeping him around? I mean, if you're being blackmailed to a certain degree and you're this...
We're talking about the head coach.
I mean, I
coach?
Like your thinking coach, right now. You know, I like this idea right now. Let's go down this road. What could he have on Urban Meyer?
Here's the thing. The coach that was just fired, Zach Smith, that was Urban Meyer's mentor's grandson. That's why he kept him around, because it was basically a favor to his mentor that helped him through the college ranks. So that's who he was. He was a nobody.
I mean, I feel like Urban Meyer at this point in time does not have to do a favor for anyone.
Well, he didn't really do too much.
Now he's going to have to.
Well, of course. But,
I mean, that's a theory I haven't heard before.
I do like it, though. I like where your mind's at.
I like a good conspiracy.
Like you said,
theory.
I mean, look at the past teams that he's had before, and all these allegations and stuff that come out on these kids years later. It's like there's got to be something going on with this.
And
guy.
On all accounts, too, Urban Meyer is a real Dick Cheney when it comes to, like, being a coach. You know?
Yep.
And, like, he's, like, apparently very hard and manipulative on guys and kind of that old-fashioned, old-school approach to coaching, you know?
Yeah.
Which you find almost exclusively in college football. Their head coaches are given all the power. They're oftentimes the highest-paid faculty member at the university. In many cases, in most cases, I would say, they are the – if you look at – public officials and what they get paid, oftentimes you'll find the highest paid public official in your state is a head football coach of a major university. So,
I mean, that's the most money right there for any university, so they want to get as much as they can. So these coaches, it's a really big ego trip for them, I feel.
Agreed.
They have complete control over all these hundreds of kids, pretty much.
Well, from a football standpoint, where does this put Ohio State? You know, are they...
Does it take them off?
Are they...
I don't think so.
I mean, there's still the talent there, do they not? They still have the classes that he's recruited.
Right, but some of these kids that are coming... I mean, some of these parents are going to pluck these kids, you know, before they even enter Ohio State, and they're going to make them, you know, look at the Sharif O'Neal, you know, incident with going to Arizona, and then his coach has those allegations against him and all this stuff, and so he, you know, Shaq pulls him out and transfers to UCLA. It's...
Bada bing, bada boom.
There's big time, you know, kids coming into Ohio State every single year.
No doubt.
Yep. And if you're a freshman, why not? Why not leave and go somewhere else and not have to put up with this?
Because the bowl,
you know, outside turmoil.
Like staying out of a bowl if you go to Ohio State. And
right.
You have those,
I mean, you
fans
could get
there.
You could get the USC treatment and be, you know, kicked out of a bowl game for 2-3 years or, you know, whatever.
Whole,
so it ruins
basically your whole college career,
right,
if you're going
exactly.
to the NFL.
I mean, I really don't mind if Ohio State goes through the ditches for
I'd
a little bit
okay
of time.
I'd be okay with that.
Well,
yeah.
You're a Michigan fan, so that makes sense.
So.
But that is my bias coming through, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ohio State had a preseason ranking of number 3 in... as far as recruiting, they had the number 2 overall recruiting class.
That's unfortunate.
The number 1 Big Ten recruiting class.
What are you doing, Harbaugh? God.
Oh, man.
Not much.
That's
apparently.
A whole nother situation we could get into later.
Next week.
But I do find this whole situation's interesting. I don't want to speculate too much more, nor do I want to spend too much more time down here in the dirt. So I'm happy to move on and let this story kind of unfold over the next few weeks. And we'll continue to cover it.
They are doing an investigation right now. That's
internal investigation.
Supposed to last 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, they said they
14 days
expect to have it resolved in 14 days. So,
So another happy story coming up.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Urban Meyer could have superseded all of this by simply saying he thought he was doing what was best for the family and respecting their privacy and trying to help them through it. If he is indeed lying, that would have been the way to handle this whole situation. Say you're protecting them because you wanted to protect their privacy, and he decided to just say he knew nothing about it. So,
yikes.
Yeah. From one domestic violence story to another. This is a real fun way to start the show, guys. The Houston Astros, who did they sign? Tell me the guy's name again. I already forgot.
Roberto Osuna. Yeah.
Okay.
You're all good. It's okay.
And he has received the longest suspension ever from Major League Baseball for domestic violence-related suspension at 75 games, was it, right?
Yep. Yes.
But the Astros signed him anyway after the Astros came out and said they have a zero-tolerance policy. Boy.
It's just a bad look on Houston, man. Like, and I'm fine to do that because as an LA fan, I am willing to bring them into the dirt ditches too. So as you can see, my bias is clear at the top of the show. So it's just like when you have that type of that statement out there and then you try to somehow back it up saying that, oh, yeah, this guy, we're trying to give him a second chance. That's not what zero tolerances usually mean. So Houston, you're eating your own words right now. I get it. You want to get a closer out there. I do believe guys deserve second chances out there. I don't believe everyone should be ultimately disdained after the one infraction that they do. Granted, it's a pretty bad infraction. Not the best.
Yeah.
He's not like he lied to his mom or something like that. No, he hit a girl. And give him a chance. But when you have that zero tolerance, it just brings your organization and gives you guys zero credibility. Granted, I don't think any of these teams look for credibility. All they care is about dubs. And that's ultimately what they're saying. Hey. This guy can close out a game. We don't have one who can do that. And we need to win.
Football's had the same problem pretty much since the Ray Rice issue. I don't know why these leagues and these teams keep wanting to be at the forefront of morality when it comes to domestic violence, because the fact of the matter is the court systems, the U.S. court systems really struggle with domestic violence. If you look at the numbers, of cases that are reported and the numbers of cases that even just make it to trial, it's a very low number. And the reason being is this is a very complicated layered issue. So sports teams, if you could do us all us Americans a favor, and just butt out and let the court systems handle this, you would probably be a lot better off.
Agreed.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
All right. Can we move on? I am over talking about this negative.
We're golden. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah.
Men beating women, domestic violence, BS. I'd much rather move on. So, hey, baseball was actually fun this weekend. There was a hell of a game. That was last night, right?
Yeah.
The Red Sox-Yankees.
Yeah.
Good little walk out there.
Meltdown.
Beautiful meltdown.
Absolute meltdown.
Loved it.
You're a Yankees hater, are you?
Oh, I hate the Yankees. Hate the Yankees. But the thing is, if it ended up being the Yankees versus the Dodgers, I would have had to root for the Yankees, unfortunately. So
I mean, I feel the same way, but I think as a Giants fan, I feel like Giants and Dodgers fans, we both have a common enemy in the Yankees, correct?
Because back in the day, before they moved to the West Coast, it was the Yankees, Dodgers, and the Giants.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that was so many years before I was born. I love the Yankees.
No doubt, but I think like the historical rivalry. Historical rivalry, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can someone kind of break down what happened last night? Because we're kind of talking around it. Because I didn't see the game. I just saw the highlights.
Well, the reason why I brought it up was because the only games I can watch that, again, don't have my team involved are Yankees-Red Sox. Like, that game is always a classic. Yeah. That is a classic matchup, and you're always going to get a good game. Like,
fight. There could be
anything.
Something.
In a blowout game, it's still a great game. In a nail-biter, it's even better. And this one did not disappoint. Yesterday's game, we had the Yankees came up to a 4-1 lead in the top of the ninth, in the bottom of the ninth inning. Your big man, Aroldis Chapman, the big arm, comes in for the Yanks to close it out. And what does he do? He blows the lead, blows a save. It was honestly such an entertaining inning to begin with. And later on in the 10th inning, the Red Sox walk it off. They swept the Yankees in a 4-game series. I don't think they've ever done that in Boston, they said.
No.
So that was a first for them, and pretty much gave them a 9.5 game lead in their division, which is the most in baseball. And pretty much at this point in time, the way the Red Sox are playing, probably going to steal it. The
I don't know if it was it Red Sox play or was it Yankees blunder. I mean, because there was a couple bonehead, almost Little League style playing from the infielders, which base to throw it to with two outs. I mean, there was a couple times right there. The game should have been over 4-3, I think.
It should have been. But they did have that timely hitting. J.D. Martinez, that big pickup for them, has been nothing but a monster. I'm sure everyone in Arizona is missing.
And yeah, he was in. Yeah.
That was a great pickup by Boston.
He was interviewed after the game about Aroldis Chapman, and he said, you know, a couple years ago when he came into the league, he was the only one consistently throwing 100 miles an hour, and now you get kids. There's, a handful, up to 10 guys right now throwing 100 miles an hour consistently.
Like, so if you can't throw 97, it's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, and, that's a weak fastball.
You know, he said it's not as intimidating as it used to be. So, yeah, that was
– it's crazy that he can say that because I feel anyone else he put in that situation, he put a 95 ball about – we're ducking for cover.
Yeah.
Like, it's outside and we're ducking for cover.
Lefty, too. Yeah. So, that's a weird whip going.
But, I mean, it's like you look at those guys that are throwing 100 miles an hour. They're not consistent in their pitches. They're not very consistent hitting the strike zone. They're very wild and crazy. So it doesn't surprise me that Chapman's finally becoming like
– I mean, you're slinging your arm as quick as you possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you can even be in the same general area every single time is pretty amazing.
Well, you had Randy Johnson was probably the most consistent you ever saw back in the day. But right. No one's been able to match that where he's got the velocity of throwing 100, 405 miles an hour. And him being a starter as well – and hitting the strike zone almost every time.
Yeah.
So a lot of these kids are just trying to throw it as hard as they possibly can without any accuracy, and that's what they kind of grew with throughout the ranks. So.
Be a little wild thing out there, eh?
Basically. I'm surprised no one's walk-up is wild thing. With all these pitchers out there, not one person has that, especially a reliever.
I feel like someone's got to have a real good walk-up song. You know, like you got to really choose it out to like either strike fear in them or just completely get them out of their element. Like you do, like some classical piece of music, just like, as your walk-up song, like Mozart's
guy on the
or
Heat
something.
That has
you know,
Elton John's "Rocket Man," that's a good one. I like that one.
Not
it's
bad.
A good little classic one. Right. You're kind of like sitting up there, like, what is happening right now? Rocket Man's coming right at you.
Oh, and on that, and we mentioned Aroldis Chapman, so we'll just discuss. Three different guys who have been involved in domestic abuse in the first three segments.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
All right. Well, hell of a way to start this Monday. I hope you have been thoroughly entertained out there by our talk of domestic violence. Let's move away from the negative for the rest of the show, if we could. I have no idea what your new segment is, Derek, but I...
You never can tell, man.
God, I'm hoping that it's not all negativity.
Fingers crossed. It's Derek. It's going to be negativity.
Maybe a chicken saved from a tree.
It's just so
please.
Much fun stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Want to thank one of our sponsors real quick. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number is 345-5011. All right, so thank you to Mountain Sports. More importantly, thank you to you, the listener, for spending an hour of your evening with us here at Talking About Practice. Glad to have the whole team back in the building. John just made it back from San Francisco celebrating his 29th birthday. Happy birthday, John.
I'm not 30 yet.
You have one more year. He's
throwing you in the bottle,
I mean, it's
man.
Close enough.
And then it's all over, brother. And let me tell you.
Yeah, I feel like 30, like that's like the last individual year that anyone cares about. And then it just turns into decades.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
just 40, 50, 60, 70.
Some way to do it, yeah. It's a birthday.
Yay.
Who cares, really?
But yeah, it was fun. You know, I got to go to the city for a couple days. I got to see a comedy show and see some family. So yeah, it was a blast.
Very nice. There you go. Stepman Brad, do you have a quick North State update for us?
I do.
All right, let's do it. He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
All right, guys. The North State Update. talking a little bit of Chico Heat baseball. They finish out the season at 43-14 with the record in wins and win percentage on the year for the Great West League. They will be advancing due to fires. They had a the number four team couldn't play in it, so they moved them straight to the finals. The Potters and the Rogues will be playing tonight. A one-game winner takes all goes to the finals tonight at 6:35, so right after this show. And then the start of the series will start on Wednesday, and they'll be playing a three-game series there, best of three. Chico will be home Thursday, and then Friday if necessary for a game three. And a little bit of an update kind of coming up to the next few weeks. Talking about practice, is starting a little softball team, a little co-ed team, so we'll be having
some
updates on that in the coming weeks. So another big news for Chico faithful in spikeball news. Chico Spikes is actually coming back into town, well, into the league. So they used to be the number one team in the nation with the number one player, Skylar Bowles. Skylar and Sean had actually kind of split their ways, kind of do their own little thing throughout the spikeball community, growing it, expanding it, because they were dominant. They won almost every year. So they're coming back, and they're going to be testing their skills again.
Getting the band back together.
So, yes, getting the band back together, and a lot of teams are excited, and a lot of teams are very nervous to see them back together. So that's my quick, short North State update.
Appreciate it, brother. And Derek, you have some news for us, do you not?
I do.
All right.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
Ah, that is right, y'all. It's time for a little news. Some stuff to highlight your day with. Now, I know that there are times when relationships, they're hard. You know, they're complicated. When you have your jobs, you have your thing, you have your lives going on, it's hard to create a relationship and keep it stable. Being a guy who's not in a relationship, I have no idea what that's like. So I'm just saying what people have told me. You know, that's all it said. But apparently, a 23-year-old professional Call of Duty player, by the name of Douglas Martin, or his stupid YouTube name is Vazi Sensor. I hate those people. Either way, he decided that he needed to pay more attention and more time to his Call of Duty playing. So he dumped his girlfriend. Now,
biggest favor he could have done for her.
Yeah. Now, the thing that calls the attention is how bad, pretty much how dumb this Douglas Martin is. Because his girlfriend in question was a girl by the name of Yannick Garcia. Now, if you do not know who that Yannick Garcia is, Yannick Garcia is the world's sexiest weather girl. She is that's right, Hispanic weather girl. So you know. And he dumped her because he wanted to play more Call of Duty. What are you doing, Douglas? Get your facts straight, brother. It's not fun anymore. So, Yannick Garcia is on the market, y'all, and you don't have to be a video gamer to get her. That's all I'm going to say because she's probably over those guys. Now, have you ever desired to have beer made from the lactic acid of a hot male's vagina? Never thought about it, but...
Wait, a hot
male's vagina. That is right. A Polish beer company in Kałaczyce, the Order of Jani Brewery, launched a line of beer made from the vaginal lactic acid of hot underwear models.
What?
What?
No, what?
That is right, y'all.
Ew.
Yeah.
Just no.
Now, each bottle comes with a peel-away label that features the model whose vagina was apparently swabbed to help create the alcohol.
Oh, my God.
What?
Happy news, Derek. Happy news.
That's fantastic news right there. I don't know what you're talking about. You didn't want to know about that right now? I'm just saying, that's news for everyone. Order of Yanni, if you really want that bottle, hit him up. That seems a little odd to me. If that's what you want, that's beer enthusiasm right there. I don't want any part of it.
Thank the Lord I'm not eating.
Now,
you okay, Jero? You good?
Do you happen to have a car that maybe is not the best car, and you kind of want to replace it, but you don't have the money to do so? So you're kind of hoping that somebody hits you with good insurance and they'll pay for it till you get you a new car. Well, apparently, all you got to do is just put a Trump bumper sticker on your car, and you might get hit that way. And a Massachusetts woman was charged with assault with a dangerous weapon when she hit a woman's car merely because it had a Trump bumper sticker on it. Chloe Wright was so enraged by seeing that Trump sticker on her car. Like, how dare you? She decided to hit him and ran away. However, there was footage up there that caught the accident and got her license plate number and was not able to get away with it. So, sorry about that. I'm thinking about doing that to my car right now because it's pretty bad shape and I'd like to get a new one. So,
slap an old Trump sticker
on
there,
do it.
Maybe.
I'm going to see what I can get out of there, you know, and might get some money out of it.
Yeah.
Last one of the day, guys. Last one. Now, I don't know about you, how dedicated to the cause you are to go to your favorite artist's show. If you had a concert you had to go to, you probably would do anything you could to go there, right?
Right.
Well, that's right. A couple of elderly men escaped their nursing home in Germany to go to a rock festival. That's right. Two elderly German men slipped out of their nursing home to attend the world's largest heavy metal festival in a nearby town.
Now, this is a story I could get down with. Yeah.
That's rock and roll.
Goals right there.
So these guys... And Wacken, Germany, draws upwards of 75,000 metalheads. And these guys were part of them. So don't keep it down.
I could just see them like in a mosh pit somewhere.
In their gown and everything just rocking out. It'd be great.
So it is great. They were gone for a few days. The pair were found at the festival at 3 a.m. in a rather disoriented and dazed state.
I bet.
How funny would that be, though? Like, the nurses are like, do you think they went to that metal?
No.
Possibly?
No.
There's no way they're in there.
Yeah, we have tight security here, yeah. And there they are.
They look everywhere. They're like, you know what? Last ditch effort. Let's go.
More stories like that. Less stories about beer from...
I'm just saying, when I see that headline, I got to read it, and I got to bring it out to the people.
Ugh,
I'm just saying.
But that last story was fun, so thank you.
Yeah.
There's beer made from vaginal lactic acid.
No, way to end on the grandpa's going to the...
Yeah, grandpa's going to a metal
rock
festival.
It's
awesome.
Beer. Rock never dies, y'all.
Yeah.
Dang straight.
All right. Well. Oh, man. That was a doozy. Hopefully the other Isamaki can make this show a little bit better, as she always does. Aaron, do we have you there?
I'm here.
All right. Great. Well, your brother just dragged this show right into the mud, so a lot of pressure on you.
I just informed the people of a product out there that they could buy. That's all I did.
Yeah, that's all you did.
Wait,
you also gave me nightmares for the next 2 weeks.
That can't be a surprise, right?
Well, no.
Like normal.
No.
Of course.
The story he just shared was quite the surprise. But let's move off of that, because I'd prefer never to talk about that again. And get an update from you on what happened with this Tour de France last week.
Yeah, it ended last Sunday. So it's a, you know, for those of you that don't know what it is, it's a bike race that they do in France. It goes over the course of 3 weeks. And this year it was won by Welsh Geraint Thomas. And he's the first Welsh to ever win the Tour de France.
Right on, man. Shout out to the Welsh. Probably the coolest flag in the world right there.
They do have a cool flag.
Yeah.
Well, he got to wear the yellow jersey, so it wasn't really his flag, but minor details.
Fair enough.
Well, the Tour de France is all about the yellow jersey, right? I'm pretty sure.
Exactly. But here's what I learned. I'm not going to lie. I don't know much about the Tour de France other than the yellow jersey. But did you know that there are three other winners in this tournament?
What?
Yeah. There's a... the green jersey, which is for points, and that was won by Peter Sagan. There's the polka dot jersey, which is the climber's jersey for the one that does the best in the climbing routes, and that was won by Julian Alaphilippe. And there is the white jersey, which is won by the youngest rider, under 25, and best time overall, won by Pierre Latour. So, yeah, not just the yellow jersey.
So, has there been anybody that's actually won multiple jerseys in this event?
The thing is, the way that it's built, you can't exactly.
Oh, okay. So, you got to go for one. You pick one and go
for it. So, the yellow is the most...
Is it most prized?
Yeah, the yellow is most prestigious. I guess you could win a yellow and a green jersey, but because green is based on points, which means that you get points based on how you finish. And you get points from anywhere from 1 to 25. So I guess you could win the yellow and the green, and I don't know if that's happened, but it didn't happen this year.
Oh. Now, I only read the headline. I didn't read the story. There was a delay because these guys rode through some tear gas. Is that correct, or something of that nature?
Yeah, that's true. Stage 16, farmers were protesting, and they threw these bales of hay out onto the course. They were protesting essentially because of subsidies that the government is going to reduce. So they threw bales of hay out onto the course. The police came. They were trying to tear gas the protesters, and because of the wind, it actually flew onto the course, got into everyone's eyes, basically, even the winner. This Geraint Thomas. So they had to stop the race, and it stopped for 15 minutes. So
I feel like they just got to pedal through, you know? Like, hazards of the game, y'all. Welcome to the Tour de France, okay? Sometimes there's rebel protests.
Well, minor details, but yeah, that was exciting.
Oh, man. All right. Well, anyone else have any questions? Tour de France related?
No, Tour de France.
Do we have any Americans in there?
Not really. We didn't have a great showing this year, so... Okay. I just didn't want to mention that.
I mean, apparently in all accounts, like, cycling's the biggest sport in France, which I don't get why cycling's even a sport. Like, it's an exercise.
Well, you got to be good at, you know, something not very good, because they can't be good at anything else.
So there you go.
Oh, shots fired, except burn. Soccer, apparently.
Yeah, we can't say that.
Yeah. Minor details.
As always, thank you so much for paying attention to the sports that we don't quite cover here. We appreciate it. You're always a delight. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Later. Oh, that was interesting.
All right, I actually have somebody that actually won 3 jerseys. So, it looks like Eddie Merckx from Belgium won the yellow, green, and white jersey in 1969.
So he was the youngest?
So he was the youngest. The green was what? Oh. The most points, and then yellow was overall.
Wow. Wait, I thought the polka dot was the...
Oh, it was polka dot?
No, white was the youngest.
White was youngest. Was polka dot the uphill?
Polka dot was the
uphill. Was uphill, and green was overall points.
Overall points,
yes. And then so this guy, Eddie Merckx from Belgium, won all 3 in 69.
Youngest one to do it. Wow.
Yep. Youngest in that race. In that, and then overall points and the pristine...
There you go.
General classification.
Fun fact for you guys. John and I ate lunch next to Lance Armstrong at Stubbs Barbecue in Austin earlier this year.
And I completely didn't even know until he was like pretty much walking away.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Which sucked.
You even know, or did you have to tell
him? No, he didn't tell me for the longest time.
Well, because they're sitting right next to us, I just felt awkward about it. So.
That's the way you play it cool, man. When you see somebody, you just don't go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs when you see him. That's not cool. Cool, man. They know you're not cool at that point.
And I kept eating my barbecue and coffee going,
text across the table.
Cheater.
I sat next to
one ball.
I sat next to Isaiah Thomas, got pretty excited. He kind of was like, oh, geez.
Wait, which Isaiah
which
Thomas?
One?
The
legend or
the old one or the new one?
The new one. This was like right before he got traded to Cleveland.
So it was like post Celtics time.
I was like wanting to say like, hey, great year this year. I'm excited to see you in Boston. But then I was like, you know what? He's with his family, and he kind of already saw that I saw him. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to walk away and let him have his privacy. And then a few days later, got traded. So.
Well, there you go.
That was unfortunate.
If you'd only said that, you'd probably still be in Boston right now, man. It's all your fault.
Yeah, you know, it is.
Yeah,
I apologize, Isaiah Thomas. I ruined your life there.
You're the one who cost him hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes, all right. I did.
All right, I just wanted to get that straight. Let's stay with baseball because we haven't given baseball enough love on this show. In fact, the last time we were all together, we were talking about how terrible baseball has been over the last few years. So let's fix it with some ideas. This is kind of off the cuff. I know Derek, myself, and Jordan did this exercise on the podcast. So I want to bring some of those ideas to you guys and see what you think. Some of them are a bit ridiculous. If you guys have some, John and Brad, please go ahead and jump in. So one suggestion I have is, and the reason we're doing this, right? Baseball has a very hard time connecting with a younger audience. Baseball, of all the sports, has been the slowest to adapt, I would say, as far as changing rules, so on and so forth, to stay current with the younger generation. However, I will say when it comes to technology, baseball, surprisingly, has kind of been at the forefront, but that's neither here nor there. So one thing I think we could do to kind of captivate the hearts and minds of younger people is let's do away with extra innings. You get your best batter. We take our best batter. Home run derby.
You mean if it's tied game at nine?
At tied game, right.
After nine innings. So no extra innings.
No extra innings anymore. Let's just go your best batter, our best batter. You have 2 minutes. Home run derby. Let's do it.
So do you have, like, their best pitcher versus your best pitcher?
No, it's like you pitch yourself. Or, it's like batting practice type thing. Yeah, like a home run derby. Like we make, like, a home run derby. Little home run derby style. Because a home run derby is popular. We like it.
Yeah, but what if you're a team that's more, you know, pitch heavy?
You're going to do bad extra inning games. Yeah, you're going to make sure you get it done in nine.
It's going to change how you recruit and draft and all that kind of stuff.
So, I mean, you have basically got the teams that can only hit, like, maybe 12 home runs for, like, that one player is the most they can hit. And there's guys.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who put him in BP right now and see how many he can hit, right? That's all we're asking. 10 pitches, who can hit the most home runs out of those 10 pitches?
You're going to get guys that don't even play. That'll just be that'll be like their job. They're
well, then if
you
get this game
bench,
over quicker, then I'm fine for it.
And they're going to send a Frank Thomas type dude in just for BP for 10 pitches and hit 10. Ba-bam. But what happens if there's 10 home runs and 10?
They go until they miss, like PK style.
I'm not saying this is a perfect solution.
No, you're asking too many questions right now. Okay. Just roll with the punches,
out,
right, man.
I'm just throwing out ideas. Right.
Next one. Next one we
that
got
idea
right
was
now.
Maybe on the bottom of the totem pole.
In conservation to help speed the game out.
Yep.
And benches clearing brawls.
Yep.
If you leave the bench and do not throw a punch, you are suspended for a week.
So, but if you
if you throw a punch, you're fine. But if you come out there and just do this whole push, no.
I like
it. No, I don't like it. That's
like
a waste of time. I'm seeing somebody fight, or I'm seeing nothing at all.
I'm down.
So like
encourage it, like hockey.
Yeah, like I'm just saying. Correct. So everyone's got to come out there. If everyone hops over the fence, I want to see everyone throwing punches at somebody. But if you don't, move it along. If not, because it's just sissy shit. I didn't say that. It's just sissy stuff. At that point in time, I mean to get over it.
All right. On this note, I actually like this note. So I was thinking, good way to do it. Do away with the or bring back the plays at the plate. Bring back blowing up the catcher. It's like the catcher already knows what he's getting into.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been doing this since he was a kid. He knows he's going
to
get hit.
For some reason, I've always wanted to see both bullpens come out of the outfield and just fight each other.
That's what
they do.
They should do that.
They have
like a greaser on Soch battle.
I'm just saying. Yep. If you're coming out of the bullpen, come out swinging. If not, stay in
there.
I don't want to see this.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah.
I don't want to take yours. So can you tell?
All right, another one was you only get 3 pitchers a game.
Thank you.
3 pitchers a game?
3 pitchers a game.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's challenging.
I would say four.
But that's going to be in the health of players.
I would say four for the health of players because you need your starter that can go five. You need like a good mid reliever and then another one maybe. And then
But you're not going to adapt it, but I'm still saying you're not going to. I actually like that idea, though.
You only do 3 pitchers. Now, granted, I'm fine if you like intertwine them throughout the game. Like, all right, you throw 3, come back and throw 2.
Oh, it's like softball. You can bring back your pitchers
if they want to. But I'm want to do it. You have to do it at the start of the inning, though. You can't change them throughout the inning.
Of course.
Once you start an inning, you have to finish that inning.
Ooh.
I don't like those changing throughout an inning.
It's just
too much time right now, you know?
I couldn't agree more as far as the changing in the middle of the inning.
Right.
Unless all the
mound visits to get the guy warmed up and everything.
God.
You know, it's like.
And what are they really talking about in that walk to the mound?
Yeah.
It's just buying the pitcher time, letting him calm down his nerves.
That's why you're only getting one per inning or one little meeting per inning or one per pitcher.
Yeah, but then you have the catchers that go up.
Yeah.
I mean, they have done their job in like limiting mound visits total.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Like, regardless of the catcher. But it's like, that also comes to like, you got to calm your pitcher down. You got to make sure, like, he's focused. Like, say that the other team's reading your pitches. You got to make sure, like, all right, we got to switch up the count here. We got to do this little situation. But
exactly. That's why you discussed that
prior.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if
but
this
some
happens.
Things happens during the middle.
Yeah.
So that's
well,
why you have your
so,
catcher.
So for football, are we also going to, like, make sure there's no huddles?
No. Football rules are fine right now.
Yeah. Why are we discussing football?
We'll fix those later. Okay.
Yeah,
We're only men here. Okay.
I'm just trying to defend my sport here.
Yeah. Well, calm down.
Look, we all enjoy baseball.
I want to enjoy it more.
Do you?
I think you can admit, Brad, that baseball has lost its relevancy.
Well, of course.
In the national consciousness.
People are just losing relevancy to sports in general. It's not just baseball. Baseball, yes, more of the long.
Basketball is skyrocketing right now.
Basketball is a year-round sport. People care about basketball in ways they never have before.
You know, watching the summer league, stuff like that, I mean, that's getting to be such a big deal.
Well, when you have, like, rookies that are not going to amount to anything, this is the most exciting part in their lives, of course.
I mean, how many kids do you see?
That was a nice jab right there.
Yeah,
thank
it was.
You.
I think you're trying to deflect, Brad. We are not attacking baseball. We are stating facts. Baseball has never been...
I just feel really attacked right now, guys.
Baseball's just never been less relevant with a younger audience.
I agree.
So we're throwing out some silly ideas that baseball... Yeah. Rob Manfred, hit us up. You can have these ideas for free.
I like the three-pitcher idea.
Yeah, no, isn't like that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a solid idea. Let's put a clock on baseball.
They already have.
Yeah.
What type of clock are you wanting, though?
Like, you get 3 hours to finish a game, and that's it.
Oh. Yeah.
So at the three-hour mark, it goes to the home run derby?
Yeah. Well, no, wait. No.
If it's tied.
So here's the thing. Where it's
at, otherwise, if you're up, game's over.
Well, how about this?
I will say you will get the match the inning.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say at least the match the three hours. If you start, if you start the inning after like 3 hours, you get to finish that inning.
We're focus grouping this.
Yes. Brainstorming on air.
A four-person commissioner.
I bet you there's a lot of people out there throwing ideas, too. I wish you could, you know, we could hear you.
Yes.
You text the show.
Yeah, feel free, 530-213-3298 if you have some suggestions on how we can fix baseball. Now, this one's ridiculous, and I know it's ridiculous before I even open my mouth. So before you jump down my throat, just hear me out.
All right.
I want trampolines on the warning track. I want to see dudes go and rob home runs 25 feet in the air.
Can we also bring back the hill in Houston?
Only if it's a hill made out of trampolines.
No, here's the thing. Warning track, but there's a hill. So you have to, like, jump on the warning track to, like, jump onto the hill.
It's injury prone. I'm digging this trampoline idea.
Isn't it great?
It's like slam ball, but for baseball.
Dude, that was the best.
Because, like, we want to have more home runs, but you're getting an out, so it's a quicker game. So it's
but then you got to make sure that like he doesn't like spring himself up over into the stands and then he breaks his leg.
I feel like if he takes the ball, he has to come back into the field to play with the ball.
Right. It's just like if you're running down the first baseline and dive into the crowd. If you catch the ball, you catch the ball.
But if you fall over the wall, let's say you jump into the crowds and catch it, it's a home run, I feel you got to give it to them.
Yeah, I mean.
But I mean, even over the wall on the first, third baseline, like it's an out. As long as as long as a part of your body's in a field of play, like, or hovering over the
field. Because I'm just saying, the guy's going
to
jump over the fence, I feel. There's going to be somebody that's going to be jumping over that fence entirely.
Ichiro Suzuki.
I mean, actually, I might be fine with that. I probably would be okay with that.
This sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, actually, I'm fine with that.
Well, you got to make sure that no one in the stands gets spiked now.
Yeah, well,
sorry, I'm taking this logically.
Just like you bring your glove to the game, you
bring your headset or your helmet to the games now.
You can have those bubble seats now.
I have another suggestion.
Please watch out.
Let me know how you guys feel about this one.
Bats.
A magical at bat. So at any point in the game, you can bring in
a celeb shot.
You could bring in your best hitter, let's say. So let's say your best hitter was leadoff. You're now to your cleanup guy. Let's say your leadoff hitter grounded out. Well, hey, you could bring your leadoff hitter back.
So does that mean the fourth spot is now just taken out for that one at bat?
You know, any spot.
Well, but it's like
for the one at bat, yes.
So he doesn't get moved down. It's just he gets taken out and he drops down to the five spot.
Correct.
All right. Just want to make sure.
A magical at bat.
All right. So a slub shot in baseball.
I know this is all ridiculous.
No, that'd be interesting.
But I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out
think about this.
They should make a league.
Trout
with these
comes
rules
up, hits a home run, and then Trout comes up again, hits another home run.
I would love that.
Like you just have your best player. It's like hits a home run
in the inning. You can put him wherever you want.
Yeah.
No, what about to start the inning?
You get
the ninth inning.
So you get one per game.
One magical at bat.
The entire game.
Per game.
Oh, see, I like an idea of like your last chance, like a ninth inning.
It's like a situational type thing.
You can start the whatever three you want.
But it's a situational type thing.
Yeah.
Now,
I like that. I kind of like where you're headed with this.
The ninth inning, you set your own lineup.
Ninth inning, you get to set your own lineup. You know, if you just have a guy that has a hot hand that day, or you put in the Mike Trouts of your team to lead off the inning order, bat second, you know, it's.
Yeah. There's one seam head that is at home right now listening to this.
And he's hating
yelling at the radio. These guys are idiots.
I understand this. I'm sitting here fuming a little bit, but I'm giving it a chance. Just let it be for a sec.
Look.
No, I
love the game. We respect the game. We know how hard this game is.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
I actually went to a minor league game yesterday. San Jose Giants. Yeah.
That's great. How was it?
We lost to the Padre affiliate, but it was fun. Great ballpark.
That is a good ballpark.
Yeah. San Jose, yeah.
So they have reviews in the game already. Let's limit the reviews to like 3 minutes, maybe even just 2 minutes. If you can't figure it out in 2 minutes, does it really matter?
The call on the field stance.
Yeah, it's the call on the field stance. Yep. It's like, I mean, just let it be. If you can't figure it out in 2 minutes, or somebody in Scranton, it's not in Scranton. It's in Cooper. No, where is it?
It's in New York.
Is it somewhere in New York?
They need to get the sports gimp. That's all you need. You bring up the sports gimp, you'd be good to go.
Yeah. So that's the one thing that bugs me is the reviews take like 5-10 minutes. I'm like, how do you really need to like look at this in 5 different angles and see the same thing over and over again? It's like, oh, I don't know, man. It could be a save, could be out. It's like, just 2 minutes. That's all you need.
One more suggestion, just to shake things up. Let's say 2/3 of the way through the season. Let's have a middle of the season tourney, like many soccer leagues do. And that tourney is an automatic berth into the wild card.
So that second place is an automatic.
But you have
berth.
Two. You have an AL NL winner.
Right.
And so you have.
No so you have an AL tourney. You have an NL tourney.
A double elimination. I like this.
Yes.
It's basically College World Series mid-season.
So you can be essentially now. There's a lot of issues with this. Trust me.
Yes.
I was thinking this through on the way over here, and I.
But if you just did single, it wouldn't be that bad. Single elimination, just.
I feel
run
like
it
double because
right
it's like even the best teams can fall, but it's like. You have,
but if you're say the Red Sox, right? Mm-hmm. You may not even put your starters in for this tournament. But let's say you're a bottom feeder team. Let's say
Padres, Giants.
Yeah, you're a third, fourth place team.
I like how you put yourselves in that.
Well, I'll admit what we are.
Yeah,
I'll admit what we
but
are.
But say you're a third, fourth place team. This tournament can mean everything and could buy you a spot at least for a play-in game to the playoffs.
Plus, it gives the fans that are like, the season's over.
Gives them hope.
Gives them hope to be like, okay, this is our chance right here. This is our
and
tourney.
It doesn't count towards standing.
You know, the
mid-season.
You know how honestly, demoralizing though. It is as a baseball fan to know 100 games in that you still have 62 more of these things and you have no shot?
Yeah.
Now, instead, you do have a shot. In fact, you could clinch a playoff berth right now.
And win the World Series from it.
Yes.
Right.
So,
but then you get, I mean...
There's issues with it. Trust me, there's a lot of holes in this. In this
there's
theory.
Holes in every one of our theories right now. We're just
well, except the trampoline one. There are no problems with that. That
well, let's hope there's
is
no holes.
It'll
fall right through it.
Oh man, Brad, you're having such a good show. I want you to ask yourself, how do you think that joke went for you?
Really well.
Self-awareness, not a key strength.
You got it right with the Giants, man, but you missed it there.
I was proud of myself on that one. Made me laugh.
We only have a few more minutes of this show, so let's keep it light and fun and then talk about Ray Lewis and his 14-and-a-half-hour Hall of Fame introduction speech. I was at a bachelor party this weekend. It came on in the background. I paid attention for about 5 minutes, and then I remembered these are the ramblings of a insane person, so I quickly tuned out. But apparently I missed some of the highlights, like Ray Lewis mentioning that he still kisses his 20-year-old sons on the mouth, which is different. I'm never had kids, so who am I to tell someone how to raise their kids or how to kiss your kids? But I find that odd.
Fair. Well, the reaction reaction of the kids is hilarious.
It is great, but the point that's a Tom Brady type stuff, and that's weird, man.
Like, yeah.
That's an odd power move to pull there.
I mean, I kiss my parents on the mouth, but not...
I stopped at a very, very young age with my dad.
Double digits, for sure.
Like, my dad was a very young age. I did not kiss his lips. My mom lasted a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But now it's my mom, a key on the cheek.
Yeah.
My dad, it's a, I'll give him a hug. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and a hug's even pushing it. I'd rather just dap you up.
I love how everyone gets the standing podium microphone, you know, for their speeches, and Ray Lewis has his little headset.
Oh, no, he's like, I got to walk around.
Wait, he had a headset?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a motivational speech.
Oh, dear Lord.
It was
a revival situation right now.
Yeah.
Now, Ray Lewis...
murdered someone, allegedly.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair.
Coming in hot. Yeah.
Fair. I wasn't going there.
Allegedly.
But I like where you went with that. Ray Lewis, for as amazing as he was on the field, there are a few players I have found more obnoxious ever in the NFL who talk more nonsense. The only guy who I think outdoes him, and he's still a young guy, so he has plenty of time to catch up and surpass Ray Lewis as far as speaking gibberish, is your man, oh God, why am I drawing a blank? He ate W's last year. Jameis Winston.
He W's?
8 W's.
I thought he said like he was eating W. I was like, what are you talking about?
That's correct. You haven't seen this.
Press conference.
All right, everyone, do yourself a favor. Just Google Jameis Winston eats W's. He's an odd guy, and he talks a lot of gibberish. It's Muhammad Ali-esque if Muhammad Ali was a lunatic. It's very...
like, Ray Lewis thinks, like, everything he's saying is so profound.
And it's so like, passionate oh my, and, like...
If I yell it as loud as I can, it's passion.
Yeah.
I was annoyed with Ray Lewis for a long time.